we are in such a new season, and we must begin to recognize the season we're in. It's like it's a whole different ball game now. We're going to go all over the place, but I'm living in my dream world. That's why I've been telling people. I said, God wants you to live in a dream world. He has a dream for every one of you. Come on now. He wants to lift you above just living like the world lives into a place where you have eyes to see, ears to hear, where literally you're full of dreams and full of visions. Where it's not, where you wake up and you're living your dream. Come on now. And what you dream today, you can literally will become your reality tomorrow. Hallelujah. See, most of us, what I'm doing is I'm living yesterday's dream. That's what I'm doing. And if you got your Bible, let's go Psalm 126. I'll go back there. I told you that's where I'm going to stay. So I'm actually going to read a poem. I don't read a lot of poems, but one of my favorite poets of all time was a guy named Langston Hughes. I know nothing about him. But I know in my senior thing, I used a poem by him to actually for my yearbook, and it was I remember that. I said, I play it cool and dig all jive. That's the reason I stay alive. My motto is I live and learn is dig and be dug in return. And that's all I remember that. I just read it one time. I said, I like that. Well, I read another one just recently by him, and I like this one because it goes along with what I'm preaching. And I'll take material from almost anything. It says, hold fast to dreams. For if dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams go, life is a barren field frozen with snow. And I believe that. Without a dream, we have nothing. And literally, God, the Bible says God will once again, Psalm 89, 19, once again, He'll speak to us through vision. Yeah, I believe God's going to speak to us through dreams and visions. That God's going to pour His Spirit upon all flesh. You know, and that literally old men again will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. But everybody's going to be able to see something they couldn't see without the Holy Ghost. Come on now. See a brighter future. You know, it's amazing that when the light's turned on, one word from heaven can change your life forever. One word from heaven can be a suddenly that breaks you into a different realm. One revelation from God. And we're here to literally experience God. Many of us, all of us need to begin to confess what Jesus confessed because it's true. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because He's anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord wasn't just upon Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord's upon His body. And we should begin to say, Holy Ghost, come on me. I want to manifest presence on my flesh. My heart longs for you. My soul longs for you, but my flesh even yearns for you. I need that tangible anointing that changes me into another man. Absolutely have to have it. And I know when it comes, because when it comes, everything changes. We're in a different season. The biggest danger there is to see this season. It's not even like last year. I mentioned something this morning about, I'm recapping some things and we're going to go on. But when Oral Roberts died, I believe it was like Moses dying. Because most of what the charismatic movement has experienced was birthed through Oral Roberts. God used him to bring the church to where it is today, to bring healing into the mainstream, higher education back to Pentecostals, where it was okay to have a brain. Come on now. And where literally God was a good God again. Seed faith. And I must be honest with you, the offering's gone tonight, but from now on, when you give, plant dream seed. Seed your dream. That's what we've done. From the moment my son was born, we haven't had a lot of money, so I thought, we're going to, college is so expensive. I said, Lord, how can I pay for it? He said, plant seeds. From the moment he was born, we've been given regularly to Oral Roberts University because it's a university that raises up people to hear his voice. And we plant a seed regularly for my son's education. And, Now it looks like he's going to get a free ride, more than a free ride, you know. But even this year, he's a 10th grader, so we don't know yet the total outcome, but he's been contacted by every major, all the Ivy League schools want him, everybody wants him. But even this year, we found out he won a $22,000 scholarship we didn't know anything about, just because his ACT score is off the chart. And they said, anyone that gets this score automatically gets the money. So I thought, man, the seeds are working, man. The seeds are working. I don't understand how it works. God's the one that works it. Come on now. Most farmers don't know how seed grows. They just know it does. And they're happy it does. Amen. Does this make sense to you? God wants to bring us out of just the mundane into a supernatural realm. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon the church again so people can see Jesus. They don't see Jesus, the same Jesus, without the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Psalm 126, 1. We're going to go here. Every one of you is a seed. Every one of you has been seeded by something with God. So you're supposed to manifest a harvest on earth. He doesn't want your life back in seed form. He literally designed you. You have designer genes to manifest something. You've been genetically designed before you ever were born. You have the same DNA as Jesus. We are a new creation. That's why we must not even look at Old Testament saints and say, we're a breed that's never been before. We're not even like the prophets of old. We're a breed that has never been before. They were not the new creation. We are the new creation. Come on now. We're in a different covenant. We got God on the inside of us now. Amen. We literally are carrying Jesus with us everywhere we go. Amen. Just like Mary carried Jesus, we're carrying Jesus, but we're not carrying the baby Jesus. We're carrying the full-grown Jesus on the inside of us. Come on now. And any time when all we got to do is get our flesh out of the way, and He'll go from the inside to the outside, and supernatural things happen. Come on, somebody. I love this stuff, man. It says, when the Lord turned the captivity, I believe God is turning stuff. God's going to turn Kaiser around. He's going to turn America around. America has lost its dream. And God's going to raise up a Joseph generation of dreamers. Come on now. Then their dreams will save their nations. Their dreams will save their family. Their dreams will change their communities. Come on. It says, when God turned the captivity of Zion, it says, we were like those who dream. See, a dream brings you out of captivity. And it goes on and says, then your mouth is filled with laughter. That's why kids are so happy, because they're dreamers. You lose the ability to dream, you become sad. And the church has been sad. Because there's not too many dreamers in the church anymore. Come on. That's why you have to enter kingdom life like a little child. Kingdom life is in the Holy Ghost. Come on. You know, too many people, they've rejected the kingdom life because they've rejected the one person of the Godhead that opens the whole kingdom up to them. It is true. And it goes on to say, in our tongue with joyful shouting, then they said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things. See, it's one thing when everyone else says God's done great things, when believers say, but when the heathen start saying, come on. See, when you become a dreamer, Joseph, eventually all of Egypt recognized that his God was the God. Daniel changed the whole nation because he could interpret dreams. Their people could see it. They didn't have any understanding. God will grant us understanding, praise God. He's going to give us answers in these last days. Amen. He's going to show us wisdom from on high. He's going to pour out. Our thoughts are not His thoughts, but He's going to rain them down on us. Come on, somebody. It's our time now. The Lord has done great things for us. We're glad. It says, restore our captivity as the streams in the desert. Those who sow in tears are going to reap. See, every dream, if it's from God, it involves harvest. It's It's not just about you. God said, I'll bless you and make you a blessing. Never just about us. Never. See, some of the messages, and people I love, I believe they had the right message, but I sometimes felt like it's been at the wrong depth. Because most of it was what's in it for me. Instead of how do we take this and use it to change the world? Come on now. The residue will bless you. But that's never the whole purpose. To seek first the kingdom, his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Amen. See, God's doing something, and you're a seed. You are literally, in Matthew 13, it talks about the sower sows the word as a seed, but later on, he says that you're the kings, you're the sons of the kingdom that are sown into the earth. So you're the seed in Matthew 13, 36. In order for the wheat to grow, you got to be planted. In order for us to bear fruit, we must mix with dirt. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Religious people don't mix, so they're not fruitful. They're sterile. Period. Come on. See, unless a seed goes to the earth and dies, it dies alone. And they're the loneliest, miserable people in the world, are religious people, because they're not mixing with any dirt, so they're dying alone. But you know, as a seed, we still need some things. There's four locks on seed. I'm going to get into this, and we're going to move on from there in a second. But the first is the water lock. Because I believe God wants to give breakthrough. I'm going to talk about the breaker anointing tonight. And part of breakthrough is literally to break out. The first lock on a seed is a water lock. If a seed has no water, it will dry out and remain locked in the earth. When water penetrates the seed, unstoppable change begins. That's why it says in Zechariah 10:1, ask for rain at the time of rain. That's why it says any good farmer, he doesn't just plants seed, he expects rain. Because without the rain, there is no harvest. Without the Holy Ghost, there is no harvest. Come on now. I've been to churches, they're all word and no spirit. And thank God for the word, but guess what? No, not much harvest, not much seen there. Because without the rain, there's no evidence. A field can be seeded. But if there's no rain, it lies dormant. But when the rain comes, everything changes. And we're about ready to come into a new rainy season, not just outside, inside. Come on now. Hallelujah. And God's beginning to rain and pour out His Spirit. And the Holy Ghost will get popular again. Come on now, He will. He will. A lot of churches have tried to grow without Him. And be honest with you, they've had a growth, but it hasn't come from God. It hasn't. When everything gets bad, when everything gets shaken, I'm going to be honest with you, they can't stand without the Holy Ghost. The second thing that you'll see is an oxygen lock. The breath of life is in the oxygen, and a seed must have that breath for life to spring forth. You know, that's why Habakkuk 3:2 is one of my favorite scriptures to pray. Revive the work in the midst of the years. Breathe on it, God. Breathe on it. Breathe on it. Wherever we're stuck, we need breath. Wherever we're stuck, we need breath. It's not enough to prophesy to dry bones. They can come together as an army, but there's no flesh on, there's no movement until you prophesy to the wind. You know, you can actually have everything come together, but there's no real movement until the Holy Ghost shows up, the wind shows up. And sometimes you have to prophesy, come on, Holy Ghost, come on, we want you. We invite you. We're a Holy Ghost friendly church. Come on now. You know, I remember my sister-in-law, she's funny. She's doing real well now. They're actually a professor at ORU. But she went through a season in her life, but boy, she couldn't choose, man. You know, I mean, she just went from husband to husband, and it was awful. You know, and it's sad because she really was just dumb. Even though she has a doctorate, she's dumb. And I remember one time she brought this guy in and said, well, you know, what do you think? And I sat down with him and I looked at her. I said, don't marry this jerk. And, you know, he's huge. So it took guts to say it. I said, he's a jerk. Don't marry him. Well, she married the jerk. And then about a year later, the jerk divorced her. And then you know how she was. A lot of people do this. I don't understand why God allowed that. Well, he didn't. You married the jerk, not God. If you listened to godly counsel, it wouldn't happen. So, you know, I heard that. But she was so frustrated at that time with men. She looked and she looks at me. She said, all men are dirtbags. I thought about that. I said, that's scriptural. We're all a bunch of dirtbags. Only the difference is there's some dirt God breathed in. Yeah. Come on now. And that's it. You know, we're all a bunch of dirt. We're earthen vessels, but the treasure is the breath of God. Come on now. When God breathes into an earthen vessel, it comes alive and it becomes useful. And God's going to breathe on us again. You know, the third lock is a temperature lock. If it's not hot, it ain't germinating. And be honest with you, if it's not balanced, it won't germinate. There's a danger in being so spooky religious you can't relate to anybody. False balance in Proverbs 11:1 is an abomination to the Lord. When I get around people and they have no hobbies, nothing, no outside interest at all, they're in trouble. Because that's not healthy. It's not. God made you spirit, soul, and body, and he wants every area. Amen. You know, he's not against you going to movies. Just make sure they're ones he can watch with you. Come on now. That cuts out most of them, but there are a few. Come on. You know, I like Narnia. I watched that one with Jesus. So, amen. But see, and then there's a light lock, and the light tells the seed when it's near enough to the soil surface to emerge and break ground. Darkness affects the seed, causing it to die or lie dormant. Again, if there's no light, it doesn't develop. That's why we need to walk in the light as he's in the light. This is a new season, church. We're about ready to break. How many of you are ready for a breakthrough? A breakthrough. A breakout breakthrough. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just talking, I just want to experience it, you know? I mean, what I found out is more things. I mean, we need to begin to trust that God, that, let me say something also. We need to become so grace-oriented. So grace-oriented. Where we realize that faith is our part. And without faith, there is no kingdom business transacted. But the bottom line is everything we believe for was started by grace. Grace is God's hands outstretched to you with everything you need for life and godliness. Faith is our hands outstretched to God to receive what he's freely given. And be honest with you, if we even exalt our part above God's part, we're going to think he can't do it unless we get all our things right, and we'll be so frustrated all our lives. And to be honest with you, he does it in spite of us. More things happen by mistake. And then later on, we find the five steps that we took during that mistake. And we train other people to be just as dumb as we were. Come on now. It's true. You know, because it's ultimately up to God. Does this make sense to you? And God's about ready to do something. When I'm talking about breakthrough, it literally is a place of breaking forth with sudden force, breaking out of restraining conditions, and advancing into new areas of life. You know, I believe God is going to raise up a whole new group of violent Christians. Sounds like the Tea Party or something. But I believe that. Matthew 11, 12 says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The force that brings heaven to earth is faith. It's aggressive faith. Nothing passive in God. Nothing passive should be in His people. You know, passion and passiveness don't go together. And the Bible told me, it's, you know, 2 Kings 6:1-2 says, the place we've been living is too limited for us. You know, I believe we're coming to a season like we're going to finally be calves released from the stall. We've been living in this little mentality. And God wants to break us out of it. Break us out of it. And there'll be a fresh fire where we're going to literally, when we break out, we're going to be so released. We're going to tread down the wicked ones. You know, literally are going to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. And it's going to be like, they're going to be like ashes underneath our feet. Son of righteousness is going to rise with healing in his wings. It's a new season, church. It's a new day. Come on now. See, literally, God's kingdom is only manifest through the Holy Spirit, and only those drawn off the anointing can get out of the ordinary into the extraordinary and get out of just the natural into the supernatural. And literally, the anointing of God and the kingdom of God is characterized by power. I had a lady come up to me just recently. Well, you know, she said, I needed to talk to you. And I was back in town. She said, 2 years ago, you prayed for me. Do you remember that? I always laugh when I say that because I pray for literally thousands of people. I lay hands on maybe 10,000, 20,000 people a year at least. So, no, I don't always remember everybody. But she said, do you remember me? She said, and she said, when you laid hands on me, I started screaming. I said, well, that's not unusual either. And she said, I came to your meeting. She said, I wanted to come and talk to you because I came to that meeting and I had just received a death sentence, literally, from the doctors. And he said, I'm a nurse. So I knew what the medical condition was. She said, they had found out I was in the fourth stage of liver cancer. So they gave me three weeks to maybe 2 months at most to live. She said, when you laid hands on me, she said, it was as though a presence came into my body. And I started sensing everything begin to move on the inside of me, so I was screaming. I thought, whoa. And she said, you know, I had seen your ministry before, and you were my point of contact. I kept saying, God, if I make it to that meeting, I'm going to live. If I make it to that meeting, if I can just have him pray for me, I'm going to live and not die. Well, you know, she was releasing her faith. It wasn't just me doing my... I found out something. I could lay hands on everybody in the play, which I did almost. And, you know, most of them probably didn't receive anything. But the one that was using their faith. Come on now. The one that was expecting. The one that was saying, hey, you know, if he'll just lay his... This is a point of contact. And he said, when you did it, I expected it. I thoroughly expected it. And a fire came through me. She said, you know, I knew everything had changed. He said, you know, having worked in the doctor's office myself... I went back, and of course, they had to put her on leave, and they said, take more tests. When they took the test, all the enzymes, all the blood work was fine, and they said, that can't be. So literally what they did was she said for a year and a half, it had been 2 years since I saw her, for a year and a half, they took her blood twice a week because they kept saying it can't be. And finally, they finally have told her, no more blood, you're fine. But see, Jesus can do what can't be. Come on now. But that's a breakthrough. That's the breaker anointing. Come on now. Many times people give up because they hit a wall that doesn't see. God can move any wall. He can move any mountain. Come on. He can split things wide open. We are not stuck, church. The only thing that we're stuck in is in our faith. If you believe you can't move it, you can't. If you see yourself as a grasshopper, you'll live like one. Come on, somebody. Am I helping somebody yet? It says, you know, when we say yes to breakthrough, we're saying yes to the removing of any and all long-standing obstacles. Some of you are putting up with stuff that needs to be removed. Some of you have settled for the fact this will never change, and that's wrong. Absolutely wrong. God was not pleased when a whole generation died in the wilderness. Because they had received better promises, and so have you. Come on. Micah 2:12. I'm going to look at this. I want you to see the scripture. Have you ever seen a scripture and literally? Have you ever read from the Word of God and said, when did he put that there? I mean, and I've been reading through the Bible for 30 years. I mean, I read at least 3 times a year through the Bible. Have been. It's just something I do. And so I know I've read this thing probably at least 90 times. But who cares? I never read it. I just skipped over it. You know, I just read through my thing and God never highlighted it. I probably never even underlined it until this time. It says, I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I'll put them together like sheep in the fold, like a flock in the midst of its pasture. They'll be noisy with men. Now, you know there's a revival when men are noisy. When women are noisy, it's just normal. Okay. Anyway, the breaker goes up before them. They break out. They pass through the gate and they go out by it. So their king goes on before them. The Lord will be at their head. See, the breaker is about ready to go before us. Our God is the gate crashing, wall breaking, obstacle removing God. He will open up any door he's ordered you to go through, even if it seems to be blocked. God is the battering ram who breaks upon the door and makes a way where there is no way. Other words for breakthrough mean to shatter, break up, crush, burst, break in, demolish, overthrow, advance, divide, and go forward. We're in a breaker anointing, man. I'm tired of people talking about how hard any area is. Because all you're doing, since the power of life and death is in your tongue, you are literally solidifying the devil's reign in your area. Come on, somebody. See, the breakthrough person has a faith focus that stretches towards the challenge and refuses to draw back. Let's go to Joshua chapter 8. I'm going to show you some stuff. I hope you like the word. If you don't, you're in the wrong place. Because I'm going to be honest with you, this anointing, it's time, church. I am ready to see things change. You know, our church is in a breakthrough anointing. 36,000 on Easter Sunday. I walked in the church and our pastor's getting freakier on me now. He used to be so calm. And I walked in there and there's baptismals set up and down a huge sanctuary on almost every aisle. Portable baptismals filled with water. I said, what is he going to do? And it's Easter. You know, it was all Easter weekend. They had it there. And literally, people were coming in with their Easter clothes on. You know, it's about the only time in our church they dress up. They don't usually dress up. In fact, I don't know if our pastor owns a tie, but he has a 22-inch neck. So he said, you can't find a tie. He said, it's a bow tie, even if he gets a long one. He preached that morning, he gave an altar call, but it was the strangest altar call. He said, I'm not only wanting you to receive Christ, but how many of you want to be obedient immediately and get water baptized? We were dunking people in suits and all over this sanctuary. Thousands of people got water baptized. Wow. It was the freakiest thing I ever saw. It looked like a New Testament church. Come on now. You hear what I'm saying? And I believe those days are coming. I believe, you know, why not? Why not? Come on now. Does this make sense? In Joshua 8:18, it says, the Lord said to Joshua, stretch the javelin that's in your hand towards Ai, for I will give it into your hand. So Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand towards the city. And in verse 26, it says, for Joshua did not withdraw his hand, which he stretched out the javelin, until he had utterly destroyed the inhabitants of Ai. Don't settle for partial victory. It's time for us to take more ground. Christ is our breaker and the breakthrough. Come on. We got to see God as the one who is bringing us and leading us in victory. We're more than conquerors. He always leads us in triumph. You can't be defeated. You can't. You can quit. But don't blame God, because he's already given you the victory. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You've been made more than a conqueror. See, the breaker would crash through the gates in order to lead the people into new open places, much like a shepherd breaks open or clears the way for a sheep going before them and leading them into the gates of new pastures. I'll be honest with you, this is a season of new doors. Look for him. He's going to begin to give you open doors for effective ministry, wide open doors. He's going to give you doors in the valley of trouble, the door of hope in the valley of trouble. This is a time, instead of looking at your problems, look for the door. There's an escape that's coming, baby. Come on now. It's a new season. It's a new season. But if we're not willing to go through new doors, we're stuck. Faith requires that you go into realms you've never been before. If everything you experience is what you've always done, it requires no faith to maintain. And the church has been maintaining for too long. There was a time when we were moving in faith. There was a time when we were stepping into new regions for us, new realms for us. But most of us, we have settled in to the same old, same old, same old, and we act like it's new. And God's going to require us to move with him in the way and be current with the kingdom, or he'll raise up a generation that will. Come on, somebody. See, the anointing breaks and destroys yokes, gives us freedom. See, Isaiah says that Christ breaks through every obstacle and leads the captives out into fresh new places. Let's go to Isaiah 42. We're going to see the anointing bring us into places, man. God, the Spirit of God is going to show us things to come, and he's going to lead us into it. Isaiah 42:6 says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I'll also hold you by the hand and watch over you. I'll appoint you as a covenant to the people and a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeons, those who dwell in darkness in the prison. See, I believe God is, nothing can hold you back when God calls you forth into your breakthrough. I believe it's time to prophesy to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and prophesy to our sons and daughters, and tell the earth, give them up, give them up, give them up, because there are people that literally are waiting for us. They're fatherless. I'm a dreamer, and people that honestly want a dream are all of a sudden finding me, and it's not just spiritual people. I have politicians now. We have a movie producer now that literally has contacted me and said, will you work with me? Different financial people. I believe God wants to take it over, baby. I don't believe it's just a quote unquote. I believe everything is spiritual when God is in charge. Come on now. You know, we have settled to do our little thing in the corner. We got to get out of the corner. Come on now. Does this make sense? See, the earth is in travail. It's eagerly waiting for the sons of God to come forth. People with a breaker anointing on their lives. People that are anointed of God. The whole earth is waiting for the anointing. Actually, they're waiting for the anointed ones to discover they're anointed. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Is this okay? I love this stuff, man. I absolutely love this stuff. We are raising up a generation. I'm so glad to see, just be part of it, you know. I'm so glad that my seed is part of it. They're for signs and wonders. My son is known among the nations. Every major high-tech place in the world is looking at him right now. 16 years old. Why? Because the one that sees leads. God's given him eyes to see. See, you know, religious people will follow blind people. Those that see will not follow anyone that doesn't see more than they see. And this nation right now, if there's anything it's lacking, it's vision. From the pulpit to the politician. And we need God to stir us up again. Come on now. Give us a dream, give us a vision, and give us the guts to go for it. And not worry that someone's going to hate you because you're a dreamer. 2 Corinthians 1:20, I love this. It says, "For as many as may be the promises of God in him, their yes, and whereby also by him is our amen to the glory of God." How many people understand there's no maybes in God? I've heard people say, sometimes God says yes, and sometimes he says not yet. No, all his promises are yes and amen. All of them. All of them. Sometimes you have to wait to possess them, but don't blame God. It's in the now anyway. It says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God." Some of you need to use that. I am established in Christ and I'm anointed. I'm established in Christ and I'm anointed. He sealed us and gave us the Holy Spirit in our heart as a pledge. See, many of us, the anointing of God is given on our lives to bring more revelation than ever before. The revelator is on the inside of us, and that's how the kingdom operates. It's not by what we our natural eyes see, but it's for what flesh and blood never revealed to us, but our spirit, but our Father which is in heaven. You know, and I believe you can operate in that type of anointing in every realm. How many of you are ready to see some things change this year? I am. I don't want to just go through things and you know, a church should be the funnest, most exciting thing in the world. It should be. It should be. Come on now. It should be. See, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the seal of God in your life. And biblically, the seal was a proof of authority and authenticity. The royal seal, the king proved his authority and power and was an official mark of ownership and confirmation. You're a candidate for that in your life. But you need to seize the opportunity. Go through new gates this year. Go through new gates. Look for the new gates. Look for the new doors. Look for the new pastures this year. Look for new outlets this year. Look for new expressions this year. Come on now. Come on. Just see what God will show you. And he will. He'll show you the anointing upon you is a transfer of authority, power, and honor. The anointing upon you is a divine enabler that goes beyond your own capacity, your own strength, and your own vision of the future. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. It's of God. All of a sudden, he'll show you things you've never seen before. See, the breaker anointing is the power of God in action, the strength and might of God to take dominion over the enemy and to exercise the authority of Christ to establish God's rule and to build his church. The breaker anointing is on you to break you into your new season. Without this anointing, you can't get into the new season. Can't. If this place is locked up, someone has to receive a break or anointing to unlock it. There's a season for everything, and every season has its anointing on it. If we don't receive the anointing for that season, we can't enter in that season. There's a due season. That's why I was I don't know about you, but last year, I was so happy when it was over. I just had one of my roughest years ever. I don't have rough years. I don't even think that way. But last year, it was too obvious. I had my pastor of many years, Billy Joe Daugherty, die, and he's in my age bracket. I had good friends, a lot of good friends who will go home and be with the Lord before their time and die terribly. I had situations that just were not right last year. Physically, I had things happen in my own body that weren't right last year. But, you know, I asked God. I said, God, you know, when Oral died, I knew it was an entry into a new season. I said, and this is what the Lord told me. I said, Lord, how come last year was so tough? And he told me, he said, at the end of any season, nothing works. I said, what? He said, well, if it was working, people would stay in that season. So at the end of a season, it seems like nothing seems to be working. Because it's over. And he said, but it's not like that now. He said, you're entering into a new season where everything becomes fresh again. And he said, if you think like you did in the old season, when something that was a residue or something that was like what happened in the old season starts happening, then you'll start holding on. Oh, here we go again. Come on. You have to cast that down. You have to cast that down and realize it's not like before. It's not like things are going to work this year if we'll let God get involved in them. It's going to work this year. Come on now. Amen. Last year, the victory we had is we made it through it. Come on now. This year is more of a conquering time. There's times when you hide into the rock until destruction passes by. And there are moments you get out of the rock and start running again. It's time that we get out and start running the race again. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing what the Spirit of God's saying? See, I believe this. I believe that God wants to bring us into places we've never been before. It's to break off spiritual layers of bondage that's hindered us for years. The anointing's upon us, man. See, literally, I have found out we are in a whole different season. And God's going to give us literally the key of David that are going to open doors no one can shut and shut doors no one can open. He's going to give us wisdom. He's going to give us an idea that opens up everything. One idea can change everything. A church can bring in one thing. God says, I want you to do this. And next thing you know, all heaven breaks loose. It can go from empty to full overnight. I know that. I've been there. We are there. You know? I mean, we're the only church I know that we have two Saturday night services and we just put a $27 million addition on. It wasn't even the sanctuary. It was the addition to the sanctuary. And we still can't fit the people in. In the biggest recession. God must not have known that when he told us to build. Why? Because God is God. Many times, our problem is, let me help you with breakthroughs. You used to have a lot more breakthroughs if you'd been like me, because God got on my case. He said, when you first got saved, Woody, the moment I spoke to you, you jumped out on it. It wasn't always God, but at least he knew my heart. I jumped out. He said, now when I talk to you, you got to figure out everything. You got to understand everything. You've got to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. I get tired of waiting for you. He said, you know, don't lean on your understanding. Well, see, before, it wasn't hard to count the cost. I had nothing to lose. You know, I had nothing to lose. Number one, you know, when I first started out, I was single. So it didn't involve my family. Number two, if I lost it all, I could rebuy it for about $100. You know, and somehow I could get that. Now it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and there's more risk involved. But the bottom line is, when you stop having the mentality of stepping out with Jesus, you stop having breakthrough. Come on. There are spiritual doors God wants to open. Some will open easily, others will be more difficult, but if there are still doors that God has set before you, He's going to make sure they open. There's a door of hope in the valley of trouble. By the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you can know what doors to move through, which doors to lock, which doors to open, and which doors to leave alone. Not every open door is a God thing. Sometimes it's a trap. That's why dreams and visions are so important. Because once you have a vision or a dream for your life, everything's filtered through that. If it doesn't fit the dream, you don't go through it. Period. That's why Jesus, He didn't encamp by success. When a whole city was coming out to Him, He moved on to the next city. His disciples were so excited. Hey, the whole city's coming out. I said, yeah, we got to leave. Come on. Hey, man, do you hear what I'm saying? This is a time for opening new doors, doors in our lives, our businesses, our family, our churches. God's going to set an open door before you, but you must determine to see it and walk through it. You must be determined to look for the door because they're going to be there. We're going to have to say yes, and many of us, we're going to open the door for the King of Glory to come in. If we don't unlock that door, God can't move into new realms. So literally, He'll give us the key to unlock the door so He can have freedom in a new area. Many times, your step of faith will open a whole new realm to other people. The woman with the issue of blood kept saying, if I just touch Jesus' garments, I'll be healed. You know, that's the first time in Scripture it was recorded anyone touched clothing and got healed. First time. So when she received her breakthrough, from that moment on, it became more of a common practice, to such a degree where even the Apostle Paul was taking handkerchiefs off his body and saying some miracles would be done. There was something that happened in that woman's faith that opened up a whole new realm of ministry. Come on, somebody. And I'll be honest with you, we have not seen yet what God has prepared. And we're going to. Come on. Is this okay? If the door is great, the adversaries are great. Big deal. Big, you know, open, you know, new level, new devil. For every effective door God has planned for you, there are opponents and adversaries who desire to shut the door and stop you from entering. What, you know, you need to understand, even when Paul said this, he was opening a whole new door of ministry to the Gentiles. It hadn't been done before. God opened an effective door. Every time he did it, you know, it cost him. But the bottom line is, it opened something wide open. And many of you, honestly, you're going to have to be willing to take the heat or you won't go through the door. And most of the people that are going to be meanest are going to be the religious people. Because that's not the way we've done it. People usually that are in the last move of God, the ones that persecute anyone going into the new move of God. Why? Because this is the way God does things. They have figured God out. And God's not tied to his... He's not even tied to what he's done. He's God. He said, I'll do the same thing, but I'm going to do way... My ways are higher than your ways. Come on now. He said, I don't just have one way. I got ways. I'm going to teach you my ways. Come on now. And once you, I don't want you living by formula. I want you living by relationship. Babies drink formula. Just because I did it that way that last time doesn't mean that's how I'm going to do it this time. You have to hear my voice and move in me and flow in me. Come on now. This is, it's because it's live. And in order to step through a faith door, you have to step out of your comfort zone into the conquering zone. You can live in the safe zone in, or the faith zone, but you can't live in both. It's time to believe. See, I love visionaries. And people hang around me long enough, they'll be one. Because part of my anointing is a seer. Like I said, my son coined something earlier this year. He said, "Dad," well, actually, towards the end of last year, he said, "Daddy, you're just one big dream coach." He said, "All you want to do is see everyone else's dream comes true." And when he said it, I said, "That is it, baby. That is it. I have never heard it expressed that way. That's exactly who I am. I want to awaken the dreamer in everybody. I want to awaken the God-given destiny. I want to awaken that dream on the inside of them. I'm not talking about the natural. I'm talking about a dream that was placed in them from God. Come on now. Because when that awakens in them, they're unstoppable. Come on. They're a force to be reckoned with. You know? I love people that are, you know, I was watching golf today. I was watching a 16-year-old playing the PGA. And, you know, because I'm preaching on dreams, I'm saying this kid, he was in contention to win. 16 years old. Playing his own home state with huge numbers following him to every hole. They could care less about any of the other golfers. But the kid was following his dream. And there was something exciting about seeing someone living their dream. And, you know, I want the church to dream again, because there's something exciting when the whole church comes alive and begins to dream. And it's not just religious things. It's every area of society. And they begin to become the influencers. It's the way God intended it. Is this okay? See, I found out something. Unless there's an element of risk in our exploits for God, there's no need for faith. Those that know their God, they're strong. They do exploits. See, I've found out something. The greatest faith adventures require a step into the unknown. Many of us, we need to act like our father Abraham. He's the father of all the people of faith. When God called him, he went to a place he did not know. Stepped on out. But he was willing to follow the call of God. Because we walk by faith and not by natural sight. It's time that we're going to say, God, I'm going to follow you wherever you lead me. Lord, even if it doesn't make sense, as long as I know it's you. See, good is the greatest enemy of great. The enemy of great opportunities is learning to love good to the extent that it satisfies your soul and there's no desire to go through another door. Few people attain greatness because it's too easy to have a good life. Don't settle for good. You can't enter a new door until you shut some of the old ones. Every season you have to reevaluate. We're in a new season. You have to reevaluate what is current and what's not current. What's working and what no longer God is in. You have to know what to throw off and what to take on. Forgetting what lies behind. Many times we have to look, we have to close the door on regrets, bitterness, unforgiveness, all those destructive things. Stop blaming people, even if they're easy to blame. It doesn't help us. We just got to move on. God has a future for us. It's a high mark, but letting go of what, forgetting what lies behind, we press towards the mark. We press towards the mark. I found out something. You know, you're going to be pressured one way or the other. You might as well press towards the right thing. As long as you're on earth, there's going to be some pressure. So many people, they want to escape pressure. And the greatest pressure they have is when they look in the mirror and realize they, you know, right now they're good for nothing because that's what they're doing. Sad when people try to exist instead of live. You know, I don't know. I've had the privilege, and some of you may not like this, but I don't really care. But because I've gone to Wasilla, Alaska for years and years and years, knew a lady before she ever was in politics, you know, who actually was a vice president candidate in the last election. And what people can say whatever they want to about her, but the one thing I admire most, she don't back down. You know, they can fire her, they can shoot at her, they can try to knock her down, they can try to destroy her family, they can do whatever they want to do. But she has a dream that won't quit. I really admire people like that. You know, Martin Luther King Jr., they did everything and they ended up killing him. But you know, the dream lived on because he wouldn't quit. The dream was right. See, when the dream is right, you can't quit on. No matter how much pressure you're under, when you know it's the right thing, it's your assignment, no matter what it costs you, don't get away from it. Or you'll be miserable. Come on, somebody. Does this make sense? See, I don't know about you. I know about me. There's a couple more things, and then I'm gonna pray for you. This okay? There's a couple of adversaries we need to look at from new doors. Number one, the adversary, of course, of unconquered fear. Be honest with you. If you don't learn how to deal with fear, you never go into new realms. Because every new realm, you're gonna have to face fear. Period. If you've never been there before, there's something, it's scary. Do it afraid. Many of you, when you were, as a young person, you were afraid of every level. But once you got there, eventually you conquered it. But what happens as adults is we eventually allow ourselves that we close doors because of fear. Well, I've never done that before. God knew that when He called you. You don't even know what you can do. He knows what you can do. And be honest with you, He's not trying to get you uncomfortable. He wants to increase your comfort. Because whatever you conquer today, you're comfortable with tomorrow. So the more you conquer, the more comfort you have in your life. Come on. He's the God of all comfort. But you're going to have to deal with the spirit of fear and stir up the gift. There's the adversary of spiritual stagnation. You know what spiritual stagnation is? It's the great bold prayers that you never prayed. It's the lives you never touched and the dreams you left lying on your pillow at night. It's what it is. And God says, Zephaniah 1:12, He'll punish those that are stagnant in spirit. I didn't say it. Stagnancy stinks. There's the adversary of small dreams. Get rid of the smallness of your spirit and reach ahead. Ask God to give you God-sized dreams. Not dreams that fit you. Dreams that fit God. With God, nothing's impossible. So dream the impossible dream. And then birth it. If God is really our partner, and He is, how many people understand He doesn't want you working for Him? He wants you working with Him. If you're working for God, you're a slave. You're a servant. If you're working with Him, you're a son. You're supposed to reign with Him, co-heirs with Christ. Too many people are working for God. Another big adversary is it's too late for me. Never allow your past to govern your future. And don't let age stop you. Don't let say, well, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. God knows that. He took Abraham, called Abraham as an old man. He got older. Took him outside his camp, showed him the stars in the sky, and said, hey, Abraham, I know you messed up. I know you called your wife your sister. I know you messed up, but the deal's still on. I'm here to tell you the deal is still on. The deal is still on. You're not too old. You're not too old. You're not, you know, we're never too young. You're never too old. Whatever age you are, it's a perfect age. Come on, because that's where you are. You know, Caleb didn't say, well, I'm too old. I'm not going to take the mountain now. He said, give me the mountain. Come on. Does this make sense? God can open any door, and if He opens it, He'll give you grace and strength to walk through it. There's an adversary of the empty soul. If you're living on past victories or past failures, your soul is probably empty. One of the things God wants to do in these last days is restore our soul. Restore our emotions. Restore that excitement again. He wants us to receive the engrafted word which is able to save our soul. God, you can't serve God with an empty soul. That's why, you know, God always, always expects ministry to come out of overflow. That's why He anoints you, so your cup overflows. You can't serve God on empty. You'll burn out. You'll be good for no one, even yourself. That's why we need to stay being filled. Some of you, you've been on empty, but God wants to refill you tonight. He wants to refocus you tonight. How many of you say to me, I need a breakthrough now. I mean, this year. I need a breakthrough. You may need a financial breakthrough. You may need a physical breakthrough. The church needs a breakthrough. Most churches in this area do. Trust me, I know. You know, we're not settling with, you know, right now our average attendance on weekends is 24,000, and that's, you know, and we don't consider that good yet. Tulsa has 750,000 people. There's still more people not in church than are in church, even in Tulsa. It's not right. You know, nobody else, everyone else, they're satisfied. I mean, the bigger churches, we're not satisfied. Not satisfied. We're content in God. We're not satisfied. Because God's willing that none should perish. I don't want to do a little thing in the corner anymore. How many of you want a breaker anointing on your life? How many of you say, God, I want the anointing for this season. I want the anointing for this. I want the anointing to go into different. I want to pray for people tonight. Is that okay? Because this is something that we're carrying. You know, I had a church last year that towards the end of last year, it was one of those things where it could have devastated the church. The pastor fell into adultery, ended up running off. He was about my age, ended up running away with an 18-year-old girl. And it was the largest church in that area. So they called me up because I had done several meetings there before. And they said, you know, what are we going to do? And I had this picture in my mind, you know, where the scandals, because they lived in a fairly small community. And they had like 500 people, but they lived in a small community. I said, well, you know, they're good. I almost felt like something in my mind was saying they're toast. You know, that type of scandal. I went out there and the associate pastor, which, you know, he's a young man. And, you know, all of a sudden he's pastoring the church. And he looked at me. He said, Woody, I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I said, good. I said, maybe God can salvage this because you know you're totally dependent. I said, you know, the other pastor was a superstar. One of the best worship leaders, actually led worship for Integrity on several of their albums. He was a superstar, a super talented guy, but he did it all. I said, there's a ton of people that have been well taught. They just aren't doing anything. We're going to release them all. The good news is they know you can't do it. And the good news is they like you enough where they want to help. I said, we're going to see this thing turn. And you know something? I came back a few months later, and they're now 2.5 times the size they were at their height. I mean, they've added services. They're now doing simulcasts in other towns now. Things are exploding. And what the enemy meant for evil, God's working together for good. And I've started saying, I said, God, that's a breaker anointing. What honestly was intended to destroy them. God used to promote them. And I believe it's promotion time. I believe it's our season, church. But if you want that anointing, I want you to come forward. I want to pray for you right now. And I want you to begin to talk to God about the breakthrough you want to see. Be specific.